Okay, good morning everyone, and welcome to this Knowledge Circle webinar, Practice-Based Best Evidence, What Evidence-Base Counts When Evaluating Good Practice in Program Delivery. My name is Stuart Muir, and I'm the Manager of Knowledge Circle here at the Australian Institute of Family Studies. Today we will hear some insights from four speakers based in the Northern Territory about what counts as good practice and good evidence for service provision and program delivery. The presentation will draw on our speakers' experience of programs for Aboriginal communities in the Northern Territory, especially the Families and Schools Together program, and of program evaluation. Before I introduce our speakers, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we are meeting and pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and to the elders from other communities who may be participating today. So it's now my great pleasure to very briefly introduce today's four presenters, Mal Galbraith, Philip Domaranji, Bonnie Moss, and John Gunther. Further biographical details of each of our speakers can be found on our website, but I'll just briefly introduce them. Mal is the manager for the Families and Schools Together Northern Territory program, or the FAST-NT program. Philip is, amongst other things, a program trainer for FAST-NT based in Northeast Arnhem Land, and he provides a cultural and learning bridge for non-Indigenous FAST staff. And I gather Philip flew into Darwin a couple of days ago, especially for this webinar, so we're very grateful to have him here today. Bonnie is a research manager for the Centre for Child Development and Education at the Menzies School of Health Research in Darwin, where she undertakes research on early childhood wellbeing programs. And John is principal research leader of remote education at Flinders University and the Cooperative Research Centre for Remote Economic Participation. So in our structure today, we'll start with John, who's going to very briefly introduce the webinar before handing over to Mal and Philip, who'll discuss the experiences of the FAST program in the Northern Territory. Bonnie will then discuss what gets measured in program evaluations, and John will provide some concluding remarks about what good practice means for program evaluations. Just before I hand over to our speakers, I need to alert you to some very brief housekeeping details. One of the core functions of Knowledge Circle is to share knowledge, so I would like to remind everyone that they can submit questions via the chat box at any time during the webinar. There will be a limited amount of time for questions at the end of the presentation, but we will try to respond to as many as possible. We also want you to continue the conversation we begin here today. So to facilitate this, we will set up a forum on the Knowledge Circle website where you can discuss the ideas and issues raised today and share your own experiences. We will send a link to this forum later today. Please remember that this webinar is being recorded and the audio transcript and presentation slides will be made available on the Knowledge Circle and CFCA websites in due course. So without further ado, please join me in giving our speakers a very warm virtual welcome.
Thank you very much, Stuart, and a particular thanks to the Australian Institute for Family Studies for facilitating this session today, and a special note of thanks to Adam for his work with us. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the country that we're meeting on here in Darwin, the Larrakia people, and acknowledge their elders past and present. The way that we'll structure this program, as Stuart suggested, was that I'll just provide some introductory comments, and then we'll hear from Philip and Mal, and Bonnie will talk a little bit about evaluation, and then I'll wrap up. But I'll just get each person to say hello and introduce themselves so that you recognise their voice. Firstly, on my right, we've got Mal.
Hello, everybody.
And across the table, we've got Philip.
Hello, it's Philip Domaranji. Marinya ko ngani ngani wey, Philip ngani ngani wey Domaranji. You're my trainer. You're my trainer for 3 hours. Sanam. So that's my first language.
Hi, and it's Bonnie Moss here too.
And obviously I'm John. I'd like to just pose a question. Is good practice the key to sustainable service delivery? And I'm sure that many of you who are attending today are service providers and perhaps have asked this question yourself. There's lots of talk among program deliverers and evaluators about the importance of evidence-based practice. And part of the reason for that talk is that it's sometimes seen to be an important underpinning of sustainable service delivery to have an evidence base on which you work with. And some would say that any program that is delivered must be based on an evidence base. And I've noticed in my experience as an evaluator over more than 10 years, particularly in the Northern Territory, that this mandate or this requirement for an evidence base has built up an industry for people like Bonnie and myself to actually collect and create the evidence as evaluation evidence, which is great for people like us. But the question I suppose I have is, does it really make a difference? And what difference does that evaluation make? And when the evidence proves that a program works, what happens when new policies or new directions come from funders and the kind of evidence that they require changes? Are we left to hang out to dry? And I guess these are some of the fundamental questions that I'll be asking, and I do ask as an evaluator as we approach this particular topic. How do we get our heads around the notion of sustainable service delivery and evidence-based practice? I'll now hand over to Mel and to Philip to talk a little bit about the FAST program.
Okay, hello. I'm just going to make a bit of an assumption here that not everybody who's listening today understands what FAST is. So I'll just give a little bit of an explanation before we get Philip to share some of his learnings and some of his understandings as well. Yeah, it's great. I've got a whole lot of my staff who actually help us deliver the program sitting here listening, and the staff in Alice Springs as well, and staff out in East Arnhem. And I guess that gives a bit of the context of where we work. FAST essentially is a early intervention family strengthening program. It has a broad goal of increasing the likelihood of the child growing up in a family to be successful, either in the home or the school or the community. FAST has an underpinning, I guess, value that we believe that all parents love their children and want the best for them. However, we know that that's not, people don't always have the right circumstances or challenges in life prevent them from providing the right resources or the right inputs to be able to help our children to grow up well and successfully. So FAST as being an evidence-based program, everything that's in the program comes from research. So all of the activities that we run are all designed activities to bring outcomes and to bring strengths to the family unit. A primary part of that process is the collaborative team that runs a FAST program in any setting. That collaborative team, when we're talking about I'll talk about our primary school age program called Kids FAST. That collaborative team in a setting looks like it has school partners, people involved from the school, teachers, teachers' assistants, sometimes assistant principals, and principals get involved, parent partners who love being part of schools, maybe on the school council, sort of parents who often turn up to swimming carnivals and the like who want to help out in the program. And then the third layer of team members is the agency partners. A lot of schools receive a lot of outside support from local agencies these days to implement specialised programs to support kids. So FAST brings in those agency workers into the program to build relationships, develop relationships with the families. That team is then trained by our FAST staff in all of the understanding of what FAST is, the implementation of the program, and then also that team also helps to conduct the monitoring and evaluation to help work out whether FAST has made a difference for the families. That team then invites families, typically 10 to 12 families come into the program for 8 weeks, for 2.5 hours, the whole family coming in and sharing a meal together, sharing activities primarily led by the parent being empowered to be the leader in their family, and then the parents would sit and have a self-help group facilitated by some of the staff, looking at questions about what is parenting, what are the things that we find difficult, how can we do things better. Not necessarily experts coming in and telling people, but just supportive self-help programs. We've had the privilege of delivering FAST since 2003 in the Territory, and as you can see, the red dots indicate where FAST is active. At the moment, we've got FAST active in Alice Springs with Baby FAST and Kids FAST program. Out in East Arnhem, we've got about 5 programs happening this week. Philip will talk a little bit more about that. And here in Darwin, programs as well. So as you can see, our geographical distribution is quite broad. It's 1,500 kilometres from Darwin to Alice, so it's quite a long way to support the program. The last couple of years, we've been delivering across about 20 sites in both urban and remote communities where we've been training teams and training up local people to look after families in their local community. One of part of our work has been how do we take an evidence-based program, in our case from North America, which has been researched, and fit it into the Australian context, and then also fit it in to a remote community context. One of the key things that helps that to happen is that the team that is trained to look after families in their community has to be culturally representative. So therefore, out in East Arnhem, where we're primarily talking about today, most of the team members are going to be Yolngu team members who live in the community and know families, often related to those people within that community. Likewise, when we're working in urban communities, we want that team to be culturally representative of the cohort of families coming to the program. This is one of the reasons that FAST is actually taken up on an engagement level by local people. We've had to work out how do we fit with and adapt activities to suit the local people. For instance, in that photo there, you can see FAST was originally given to us where families would come in and sit around school tables and the whole family would sit around a table. That doesn't really fit in an East Arnhem context, so therefore each family would come in and sit around on the blue tarpaulin that we provide, identifying with it, sort of each of those families to look after their family unit, which you can see loosely in that photo. Our work has just helped us to primarily develop the relationship with our FAST staff in remote communities who know their communities, who understand their cultural learnings and understandings. And our job has been to walk alongside, to work with our local staff to bring the best of our Western evidence-based researched underpinnings and then combine that with the way Yolngu in particular understand what it means to parent and the responsibility. So that's where a lot of our work is. Philip will talk more about that in a minute. Interesting enough, the quote across the bottom of the page there was written about, or it came to us about, I think about 8 years ago from a community in a homeland right up the top of Elko Island, which is a little island off the coast of northeast Arnhem Land, a little community called Gawa. And one of the elders who participated in the program gave us this quote as her observation of what she saw FAST was doing working alongside her families. It's like the FAST program was written for us to go back to the way how we used to work together and walk alongside our children. That's part of our ongoing evidence base to help us to keep working how we can adapt two-way learning and the understanding of our knowledge walking alongside Yolngu to be able to strengthen families. Primarily, FAST works on 3 levels, and this works, you think about your own family setting, no matter where you grow up in Australia, your own family setting. Primarily, the parent is responsible for the children. FAST wants to strengthen that primary relationship, to empower the parents to be in charge. that next level out, your family will have other families in your community. You might be related to them, or they might be just families in that community where you have strong relationship, and you need those strong relationships to support each family growing up. And then on a broader level, we have the families and the schools. Captain Obvious here, it's quite obvious. As a parent, you don't bring your child up by yourself. You need all of these support mechanisms and support layers in life. So FAST works on that basic underpinning that works in a Western setting, in a southeastern Australia urban community, but equally works as well in remote NT communities. Okay, just going to love to introduce Philip again and forget Philip to share a little bit about where he comes from. So Philip, just tell us about your role in community and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yo, ngarinya ko Philip ngani ani oida mandi. Raman kini pengarap grew up in Kalimantan. My role in community, I'm a leadership for Jambar Pemo Clan and responsibility in our community. An authorized person who is the eldest in the community. Every clan, tribe, they respect and keep authorized to take and talk to all the community. It's a family relationship. So I'm just explaining. My name is Philip Damanji. I'm from Remo. I grew up in Kalawinko. First of all, I was the FAST family. Then I came into coordinator. Then coordinator, it helps me the way I was seeing the FAST, how it's being right for our family and for myself and for my family and for my family in every East Arnhem, three East Arnhem. So Mel was talking about the way Natiling Wenguyangi, Pilmrang Yutin. That's mean Natiling Wenguyangi means in my language. So I have to interpret it to in English, my second language. Remember the past and change the future. And I have to if you can see all the East Arnhem. My role is FAST trainer, and I encourage and support all the communities in homelands and in communities too, in every camps. So I have to share about the symbol of how Yolngu people we learn symbol of metaphor. Ral Manapan Mira, if you can see under the canoe, Ral Manapan Mira, it's a teamwork, working together. The place where we can go and pedal out as a team together, pedal and catch the turtle. And get the turtle, every part of that canoe got responsible role model. The first one is he can direct the area where we can go and where we can see. It's a safe for our children so children can learn and follow the instruction the way of getting turtle meat and come back to the mainland. And there's always a guide for us. There we have to come together, sit together, make a one fire, sit and cut all the meat for turtle meat, and we have to share the way the FAST is giving a meal. Same thing, strengthening up relations and it's strengthening up our community to be strong for our children. And we're at the same time passing our knowledge to them. And I have to talk about one more thing here. It's a metaphor of basket. Basket, it's a community. Community. And it's there, a ripety. There is always a ripety for us in our community. Ripety means discipline. If you can spell, put down on your paper, it's ripety. It's a RAYPRRI. Ripety. It's a discipline. Discipline, it helps us and our family and giving responsibility to pass on knowledge. An authorized person will give everything, the parents and children, what we need in our community. And building relationship, so we have a good relationship. Past, I remember the past, our past, on the past, it reminds me, and it's taking me what I have been learned from my father. And I learned from my old people. Remember the past and change the future. Always follow the long side. Children will follow alongside with our parents. Alongside with our parents.
Gautam, do you want to share just a little bit about how the story of the basket helps you to talk to families about how fast can strengthen families?
See that basket there, it's a dilly bag. Dilly bag, and it represents our community. Every community in his island. Every community I go and visit and teach and train them. In every community, I speak to them and talk to them. Talk about basket, it's a community. See, if there's a hole, before it was strong, our community was strong, really strong. I explained to every person in the community, the team and the family, you know, people, and because before you have a strong community. And if you can see all the black mark there, there's a hole. That something is bringing into that community and it's breaking our law. Our food, Joe, for our children. It's a family violence. In our community, we have to fix ourselves. In our community, we have to mend. I always say that in our community, you all know people, we have to fix this problem. We have to mend all the holes here. If we got hurt, so we can talk from our heart. We have to fix this problem. No one else to come here and fix the problem. We have to stand and fight for our community. To make our community strong in relationship. I forgot one. Gurutamir. Gurutamir means, write down GURUTUMIR. It's a relationship. Yolngu got relationship. Not only Yolngu, but Australian got relationship too. Relationship. If we can build or draw a family tree, Northern Territory family tree or Australian family tree, it will be linked. Every and networking and communicate, talking together and working together. Yolngu people really need support. I encourage, please. I'm begging you guys from my heart that Yolngu have to rise up in our community. Working together, walk together beside and building the bridge Western law and your law. Balanda law and your law. That's bringing and building up together to support each other. The way we are building our community strong and our relationship. From my heart, it will be good doing relationship and restoring for our reconciliation for Australia, for both Yolngu and Balanda. Let's live and work together. If in our community, in our Yolngu community, we have to fix the problem. We have to fix the problem and mend the community. Because I got a support from the from my people, got my support from my past base in Darwin, from John, Bonnie, is strengthening up our relationship because we are Guru Tamil. Balanda Yolngu, it's Wawa and Yapa, brothers and sisters, from my heart. Thank you. I have to pass on to Bonnie.
Thanks, Philip. This is a family strengthening program, and I think in Australia we all benefit when we prevent problems and plan for the future, and that's what Philip's talking about and that's what I'm talking about. And the reality is that in Australia some children, they do not enjoy the benefits of the rest of the nation. And in the Northern Territory, we need more programs that strengthen families. And this is an example that I've been lucky to be observing for more than a decade. And I'm just going to talk about some of the evaluation faces of FAF. I'm fumbling fast. And that is that FAST is a manualised program that has come from America. It comes with a manual that was trying to be implemented. And FAST here in the Northern Territory is brought in strongly into evaluation. Not all on non-government organisations can buy into evaluation with the same gusto that FAST has. John has been in an evaluation relationship with FAST for how many years, John?
8 years.
8 years. That wasn't the first evaluation they had. They did work strongly with the international evaluation unit of FAST in the beginning, and they've worked strongly with other partnerships to look at and interrogate what are the elements of the program. Some of the first evaluations for FAST focused on the model. What are they doing? The elements, the ingredients of the model from America that came in the manual, can you actually do those in a weekly program in, for example, in East Arnhem Land? And Mal and Philip and John all agree that the evaluations have shown that you can, that they do keep to many of the real ingredients from the manual from North America, and that's an international program that's used in other countries, not just North America, here in Northern Territory, but in Ireland, for example, Great Britain. I think some of the things about the FAST evaluations is that they give a real insight into how things can be evaluated, how they can be implemented on the ground. And for me, as an evaluator in the environment, I have to mention today that one of the ways that FAST really works is they have a whole of community engagement. They really are a big program. It's not one or two people working each week. It's often whole of community. It's that holistic approach to involving many people in the implementation of a program. And I noticed in some of the evaluation documents that that has really an unrecognised often outcome of strengthening community when the program is focused on strengthening families. FAST has worked incredibly strongly at translating some of the things about family dynamics that are in the program into metaphors that Yolngu families really relate to, and the the program can translate and really engage people with. For me, another strength that's been documented in evaluations and talked about today is the cultural interpreters' role of the FAST team members. This is a program in many places that's run in first language. It's conducted in first language. So those core concepts about the program have been translated many times back and forward so that they're really refined and there's a great fit for the people who participate. And for me as a non-Indigenous person, there has to be a lot less chances of making cultural errors or boo-boos or assumptions about what you are doing with people. There's been a lot of development of evaluation tools, specific tools that will let people who have participated in the program or been partners in the program assess how the program's going, and that those tools are part of the investment. I noticed also from work that I've done before that Invest to Grow and Stronger Communities for Children, those type of investments from the Australian government have also been in the Northern Territory environment were here for more than a decade. And when FAST was working in East Arnhem, they were working in a partnership with Communities for Children and working with John eventually as an evaluator to develop what's called a promising practice profile. To me, I think that's an opportunity that happened in the past that is being reinvigorated currently in an opportunity to actually write down what are you doing and how you're doing it. And they're those promising practice profiles or those knowledge circle profiles that really distill and take a lot of work to for an organisation to document their practice and their evidence. And I know that the FAST profile is up on the ACE website. And in hindsight, when those first promising practice profiles were done a number of years ago, I think that that was a great opportunity to hone thinking about what is evidence for a program that works, for example, in East Arnhem Land. But I have to close by saying that for programs, the buying in the technical support to do quality evaluations, to really focus on the elements that lead to strong outcomes, effective outcomes, that technical support is costly. It takes specific strategies, and that is an important part of the dialogue about what has to be in place for better outcomes for programs like FAST.
Thanks, Bonnie. And I'll just wrap up with a few concluding comments. And I just want to ask a question about how evaluators and even program managers measure good practice. And it's been my experience that one of the problems for evaluators when you were working as an outsider in another cultural context, and I can only speak of the Northern Territory particularly here because that's been my experience, is the tension between satisfying the needs of a funder who gives you a contract to deliver a set of activities and with some attendant outcomes, and meeting the needs of the program and the community. And the tension lies where we talk about gathering evidence, but what does that evidence actually measure, or what does it count for? Are we measuring bums on seats, or are we measuring the kind of outcomes that Philip was talking about? You know, it's very difficult to measure the direction of the canoe that Philip was talking about. It's very difficult to measure the number of holes that have been filled in a basket, in a metaphorical basket. But in actual fact, it's that getting to that level of understanding what the community want that then defines what good practice is, not what's written in the contract necessarily. And along the relationship that I've had with FAST over the years, what we've tried to do is adapt our logic model or our theory of change to suit the changing context in which we're working so that we do capture some of those community-based outcomes. But inevitably what happens is that as we identify those different outcomes, they're not the same as what's required by the contract that the funder has given the service provider. So do we then say that the program was a failure when we get a different set of outcomes that don't match the criteria that was specified in the contract or in the original theory of change or logic model? I suggest not. I suggest that the kind of evidence that we have got that measures the good practice about the direction that the canoe is travelling and the holes that are being filled in the basket are equally valid and need to be promoted as such. So we're not talking about suggesting that an evidence base is not important, but what we need to do is to ensure that the evidence that we're gathering is evidence that is needed by the community to ensure that its needs are particularly met. I've got a particular problem with the notion of best practice, and that is that once you've actually achieved best practice, then all of the rest are less than best. And so if we and in FAST achieve best practice, then everyone else is somewhat less than best. I think we really need to change the language around best practice to good practice, because there are lots of good practices, even though there can only be one best practice. The other problem I have with this notion of evidence-based practice is that it suggests that you can transfer good practice from one place into another one in exactly the same way. And I just don't think that that's necessarily so. What works in one place, even in one remote community, whether it be Ramanginning or Yirrkala or Gadawinkoo, does not necessarily mean that it's going to work well on Groote Eylandt or in Alice Springs or somewhere else. The other problem I have with the notion of evidence-based best practice is that are we drawing on the evidence or are we creating new evidence? And it's one thing to have an evidence base that comes from America or even Australia and say, yep, we've got the research to show that this program should work. But the question I have is, does it work and how does it work in the context that we are delivering the program in? And so I think one of the major problems with evidence-based practice is that it has the tendency to limit the practice to what is evidence-based, and therefore it inhibits the ability of service providers to be risk-taking in what they are doing, experimenting new ways of delivering programs, and in fact creating new knowledge. And so I think that there's room for those of us who are in evaluation and in service delivery to actually question this notion of evidence-based best practice and turn it around to a situation where we've got practice-based best evidence. And at that point, I think I'd like to conclude our part of the presentation. Thanks, Stuart.